Power Press Podcast, lucky number 13 for February 26, 2016. Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. I am not Mackenzie Bennett. I am Mike Dell, filling in for Mackenzie, who's on assignment. Actually, she's in Nashville at the Proclaim 2016 conference, along with our CIO, Angelo Mondato. They'll be calling in just a little bit later in this episode. But first, I want to get into a couple of news items. And first up, the Blueberry newsletter is out for February. Go check that out at the link in the show notes at powerpresspodcast.com for this episode. And if you're a member of Blueberry and have an account over there, either a paid account or a free account, you more than likely got it in your email box. Check it out. There's a lot in there about podcasting stats and other updates about what's going on at Blueberry. And in other news, Jen Thorpe over at Podcaster News wrote an article listing some of the political podcasts. You know, this being a presidential election year, political podcasts are getting popular. And she has a whole list of them over there, whatever your political persuasion may be. It's an interesting article, and I'll have the link again over at PowerPressPodcast.com. And I've got Mackenzie and Angelo both on the line there down in Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention called Proclaim 2016. Hey guys, how's it going in Nashville?
It's a lot of fun.
It's going pretty well.
Good. Good. A lot of people interested in podcasting, I assume.
Yeah, it's a lot of radio stations that are realizing that not everyone is catching their morning shows anymore. Want to keep those listeners somehow.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of people that do stuff for their churches, of sermons and a series of sermons and stuff. So
yep,
right. I've noticed a lot of that. You know, as far as what I've been doing, helping out a lot of them with their podcasts and those special church themes that they have. And PowerPress works with most of them pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yesterday I had someone asking me if they could do a sermon series. And I was like, yep, you can do that in PowerPress. We'll figure it out for you.
Yeah. And really, you know, it's one of those things that depends on what they want to do, whether they're also doing audio and video. But yeah, all those settings are there. They could treat it as categories. They can create in their own post types and taxonomies. Now that's the technical terms in WordPress. But what it really comes down to is just being able to stack everything in your own in specific silos, and then organizing them into different categories,
right?
Or series,
right? Yeah, I've noticed a lot of those themes have, you know, post types as part of it, and post types are kind of confusing at first, but. But really, it's just posts in a different section of WordPress.
Yep, exactly. And actually, if you organize that right, you can even make your post type, what they call the slug or the web friendly name, fit with your search engine strategy. So, in the long term, it can kind of work out altogether.
Right. So, what kind of activities do they have going on down there for this convention?
Oh, wow. You know, I haven't had a chance to leave the exhibit floor to actually see everything else that's going on. But I know there's some presidential candidates coming into town tomorrow. And it seems like every night there's something. I think tonight they were doing some kind of preview of a movie coming out in a couple weeks.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's, you know, if you're really interested in a lot of the stuff that they're doing here, you'd probably never get any sleep.
Yeah, it sounds.
I mean, I was out yesterday at 7 a.m. going to the exhibit floor, and people were lining up for some session at 7 a.m. happy as can be, and I was not as happy as can be.
You're so, not a morning person?
Ah, yes, oh. Mike, you can definitely tell I'm a morning person when we talk in the morning.
Yeah, I woke her up, too. She wasn't happy.
Well, that's all right. You know, when you go to a convention, you got to take some of that in, and then sometimes you're stuck at the booth. I know when we were out at the NAB show in Vegas last April, I didn't get a whole lot of chance to see anything but the convention floor, but it was a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we had a break today in the afternoon, so Mackenzie got to make a trip out and see the rest of Nashville.
Yeah, I've never been in Nashville before. And this is all happening at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Convention Center, and this place is insanely huge. I've gotten lost. I've gotten in many more steps than I usually do each day. But I went downtown today, and I am a big music fan. So I went to Third Man Records, which is owned and operated by Jack White of the White Stripes. So I was pretty excited to go there because it's been open since I think 2009, so a while now. Right. And it's a unique place. And then I wandered over to the Country Music Museum or Hall of Fame. I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's probably the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think it was the Hall of Fame. And I didn't actually like go through everything. I saw a bunch of the stuff on the outside that you didn't have to pay for. I saw a lot. Right. It was fun.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the thing I know about Nashville, you could put in on one side of a little notepad, but I do know that the best sushi restaurant I've ever been to is in Nashville, believe it or not. And I can't think of the name of it, darn it.
That is not what you would expect.
No, I wasn't. In fact, my wife and I were on our, you know, we do a road trip every year, and we just happened to be in Nashville, and we were doing the, you ever watch Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Yep.
Okay, well, we were going to all these restaurants. She had it all mapped out, and there was this Italian place in Nashville. It was supposed to be really good. We get there and they're closed, but right next door is a sushi place. So, okay, we'll go track that. And I'll tell you, it's the best I've ever been in. Anyway, totally off subject. We're talking about Nashville, okay. You know, it's a part of podcasting and being in the business is going to these conferences. And sometimes you get to do other things.
Yeah.
Well, and that reminds me of Wednesday night? We went to, Prince's Chicken Shack?
Yeah, Prince's Chicken something. I don't know what it was, but it was hot.
Well, it's hot chicken. It's Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah, kind of like what KFC is trying to sell now, right?
Right. And so I wanted to try it because I tried the KFC and I'm like, whoa, this is actually hot for KFC. And Mackenzie will probably explain it better, but I started eating it and then my mouth was on fire and I immediately wanted ice cream.
I'm sorry. It was absolutely hilarious. Like I would pay for this to see Angelo eat this chicken again.
Now see, you guys need to break out the video cameras when that kind of stuff happens.
You know, it occurred to me at some point that I should be recording this. However, I was covered in my own chicken that I was eating. So this was a mess. It was a hot, delicious mess.
That sounds good. But yeah.
It actually was good, but it's like, man, KFC really did tame it down. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, they kind of have to, so.
Yeah, they're selling to the masses, so.
Right, well, it sounds like you guys are having fun down there, and back to the business side of things. How's the traffic in the convention hall?
Well, the first day was, we're pretty much busy the whole day.
We were. We were talking to a lot of people. Almost 100% of these people had not started a podcast yet. Like at least the majority of the people that I was speaking to said that they were there to learn information to start their podcast. So I was very happy to be talking to them and getting them on the right foot.
Excellent.
Well, we have met a few people. We had a couple people thank us for being there. One guy that was in a booth across from us actually uses our services and plug-in, and actually at the perfect time came over and plugged our service when we had a bunch of people at the booth. So thank you.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah. It's great. Sometimes, you know, when you go to these things, you know, you do meet the customers and it's really great to, you know, to meet people face to face and, you know, you get glowing reports and sometimes you get people that, hey, got a little problem here. And usually, you know, we can help them out with that stuff. So, that's great.
Yeah. Well, it was a little different in that, you know, at the podcast expos, a lot of the questions are from podcasters that want to take things to another level, you know? And this was like Mackenzie was saying, this is a lot more people just wanting to get their toes wet still.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it, you know, because, you know, the podcasters that are out there, you know, we can help them with that. We can help them with getting started. And, you know, it's just good to be at different places instead of going to the same old conferences. Because I think this is the first year we've done NRB, right?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And there are varying services and companies here. So we've been able to talk to quite a few different people coming from, you know, different backgrounds as well, which is good. That's always good.
Yeah, and that goes through Friday. We're recording this Thursday evening, and we'll put it out sometime on Friday. So if you're listening to it right on Friday, the conference is still going, I think, till, what, about 2 o'clock? They close up shop tomorrow?
Yep. Teardown starts tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Ah, very good.
I would add that the exhibit floor teardown is at 2 p.m., but I think they're still going till the end of the night.
They're going until like 11.
Ah, well, yeah, that's good. And yeah, that's how most of those conferences go. The exhibit floor usually closes early. It gives everybody enough time to pack up and get somewhere before it gets too late and all that. Are you guys headed back to Columbus tomorrow?
Yeah, we're packing up and figuring out food and getting out of here.
Very good. So, all right, well, let's press on with some of the other things we got on the list for today, but it's good to get a report from the field. I think this is a first.
Yes.
Very good.
I think it is.
Blueberry.com is the digital media interface for everyone. Consumers, find great content and create a single RSS feed for all your favorite shows. Creators, post your show and get comprehensive stats and easy-to-read reports. Advertisers, access new markets via hundreds of available content channels that reach across all demographics. The Blueberry Network, online at blueberrynoease.com.
And in a bit of other news, we've released a new version of PowerPress. Angelo, how about telling us about that?
Well, we released PowerPress 6.3.2 this week, and there's a number of bugs and improvements, but probably the three big ones will be first, specific settings for importing podcasts from Squarespace. Became aware from one of our users, Steve, that importing from Squarespace requires special logic. Essentially, they do some things with user agents that are used, and they don't like the WordPress user agent. So they just had to put something in there different, and now you can import from Squarespace.
Awesome.
Then you wouldn't think you would need to do that, but you know, that's
some of these services, you know, they like to keep things proprietary and you know, that's all fine and good, but if somebody wants to leave, you know, somebody's got to make it easy for them.
Right. Well, you know, I only tested a couple user agents, but I would be fearful if you're, I was hosting a Squarespace, in that if they didn't like your the podcast app that's pulling your podcast, that some apps might not work, simply because they're blocking a lot of user agents. So, you know, that just bothers me a lot, that they were blocking certain user agent streams specifically, and they weren't blocking by IP address, for example. So we hardly block at all for our service, and when we do, it's usually because of a specific address somewhere that actually is known to be doing something malicious. So
what exactly does that mean, if it doesn't work on Squarespace, if Squarespace doesn't cooperate easily with the player, I guess, then they just won't do it?
No, well, what happens is that, let's say if the app, like AntennaPod, that's one of the more kind of the up and coming Android apps for podcasting. Mm-hmm. And let's say Squarespace did not whitelist that user agent, then when someone's trying to download the podcast that's hosted on Squarespace, it gets blocked and they never can listen.
Ah, okay.
So
that's much easier to understand.
Yeah. So it's in my opinion, it's bad to block based on user agent, especially nowadays when if someone really wants to be malicious, they're going to use a real user agent. They're not going to use some random user agent. They're gonna make it look like they're coming from IE 10 or the latest version of Chrome. So,
right, and spoofing the user agent, if people have to resort to that, it's not good for anybody, because the user agent is a handy tool for web services to know who they're dealing with, as far as, if there's something special about sending it to IE versus something else. It's good to know that that's where it's coming from. So I'm glad somebody figured that out and we're able to import podcasts from Squarespace, because, if we do get a fair amount of people wanting to move.
Right. We see that pretty often. People do like Squarespace.
So
the other thing that has changed is the Apple team suggested to us that we change how the data is basically wrapped for the iTunes summary tags and the feeds. So there's now a checkbox option in PowerPress under the iTunes summary setting where you can have the values wrapped in what's called a CData tag. You don't need to know the exact science or programming that's involved with that, but if you're putting a lot of HTML and specifically web links in your show notes, it would benefit you to check that option for it to be wrapped in CData.
That just makes it easier for, say, the iPhone's podcast app to do the links and whatever you might have in your show notes. Is that right?
Exactly. Now, the old way for my testing still worked, but this is pretty much a request from the Apple development team, and it might have something to do with something they have down in the future. So we just want to make sure that we're doing things the way they like.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of future-proofing, didn't they change the format or the recommended image size for cover art, didn't they?
Right. So, and that's kind of interesting too. They have a minimum and maximum value for your image, which is 1400 by 1400 minimum and 3000 by 3000 maximum. They recommended the 1400 by 1400 as a baseline for the past year or so. But this February, they've now changed the recommendation to 3000 by 3000, and specifically citing the fact that if you want it to look better on an Apple TV device, specifically a 4K screen. So that's the reasoning behind it. Now, their documentation still says you can be featured with 1400 by 1400, but if you want it optimized for the latest Apple TV displays, then it's time to upgrade again to 3000 by 3000. But I will also say that it's very important that the image is quote unquote compressed. And what that means is that the image is as small in file size as possible. The easy way to get there is to save it as a JPEG. And when you do, set the compression settings so you're really kind of squeezing the image down as much as possible.
Yeah, the quality level, there's usually a setting in JPEG for quality level. And I've had pretty good luck at 4, which is just a little less than halfway. And I can usually get those images down below 500K.
Right. In some applications, they don't go by a 1 to 10 range. They go by like a 1 to 100 range. So if your app uses 100 rather than 10 as a range, then you're talking in the 40 to 50 range, right, Mike?
Right. Yeah. Just somewhere around halfway on the compression, and then if it still turns out too big, just bump it down a little bit at a time until you get the file size where you want it. You want to stay below half a megabyte or 500K. And if you've got an image, this is something that a lot of people don't know, but if you have an image that is primarily solid colors, so you say you've got 3 or 4 solid colors and that's it, there's no gradients, no actual pictures, as far as, a bitmap image, you can try saving it as a ping. Now, pings are generally larger than JPEGs, but if there's few colors in a ping, those will be smaller.
And exactly, yeah.
And so, that's just something to think about. JPEG is generally smaller, but, if you've got the right kind of image art with few colors and mostly solid colors, you can save it as a ping, see which one's smaller. You just want to keep it under 500K in file size. Some people say 200K, but that's nearly impossible at 3,000 pixels.
Right.
And still have it look decent. You could turn it down to 1 or 10 in the quality, and it won't look good at all, but it'll fit.
Right. And, probably another tip, too, is after you've compressed it, also reload it into a web browser window. I mean, you can literally open a new tab, drag and drop it, and preview it that way in a browser window. And what you want to double check is that you haven't compressed it so much that now it has like what they call artifacts. Right. Because then you're basically going the wrong direction. You'd be better off with a smaller width and height than to get the quality down so low where you have to zoom out anyway to see it again.
Right. So, and you guys, you did a bunch of other things with PowerPress. Anything you want to mention?
Well, yeah, there's a few more things, and folks are welcome to read the README to see a couple of the other settings that have changed or been improved. But the big thing that we did as well is the linking to submitting your podcast to iTunes is now linking to the new Podcast Connect site, which is a new Apple portal for managing your podcasts.
Okay, yeah, that's right. They came out with that last week sometime. And that's a whole new web-based version or web-based area where you can go in and, you can change the feed address to your podcast. You can do, there's a lot of things you can do in there. And of course you can submit your podcast totally via the web. And before you had to use the iTunes application on your computer. And we've got a guide also over at Create that Angelo changed up here this week or last week, was it? And I've got a link to that.
Yeah, it corresponded with the release of PowerPress. Yep.
Right. So I've got a link to that in the show notes. Also, the full change log for PowerPress in case you're interested in the rest of the geeky stuff. Another thing I might want to add, too, is iTunes changed the explicit tag.
Oh, yes. Yes, we've totally missed that. So let's come back to the Podcast Connect. This is one warning I got for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the explicit setting is now either yes, it is explicit, or clean, it is clean of explicit content. There is no longer a middle or no option. You must specify whether your content is clean or has explicit.
Right. And
we're still.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're still waiting on an official response from Apple about the situation where your podcast is marked, your program is marked explicit, but you have clean episodes within it. But we assume, based on the old logic, that in such a situation, even if you marked episodes clean, because the program is marked explicit, everything under it is assumed to be explicit.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So we were both thinking the same thing. But yeah, this Podcast Connect, as somebody once said, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I'm sure there's ways you can mess things up there.
Well, yes. And well, let's talk about the good things.
Oh, good.
So one thing that since about 2012 Apple did, which was a real disappointment, was they got rid of the ping option, which if folks aren't familiar, you used to be able to use a special URL you could put in your blog, and it was to Apple's servers, and it would tell them, hey, my podcast has a new episode, please update the listing. And it would do it programmatically, and podcasts would update within only a few minutes after you do that ping. And if you're using WordPress, it was built in, the pinging process, to your publishing. You didn't have to do anything else. You just hit publish, and then 5 minutes later, your podcast appeared on iTunes. They removed that because, actually, I don't know the exact reason, but I guess they claim that not a lot of podcasters were using it. But I know at the time, if you're using PowerPress, it was automatically installed every time you set up a new install of PowerPress. So we knew at least our users were taking advantage of that feature. But with the new Podcast Connect site, you can now log in, click an actual refresh button, and refresh your listing again. So that kind of functionality that podcasters have used to have is now back, granted in a place we have to log into.
No, but that's great because, a lot of the times I'll get people say, I posted my episode and, it's been 2 days and it's not in the iTunes listing yet. And now we could just tell them, go to Podcast Connect or Podcasts, plural, Connect, and you get to watch that. But anyway, go over there and you can refresh your feed.
Yeah. And another really good feature is this feed submission process. For a long time, whenever you would do the feed submissions within the desktop app, you were kind of left hanging when it would give you an error as to why they didn't accept the feed. They would just say, it would give you a generic message saying why the feed was rejected, and it kind of left you kind of clueless. This new interface did some testing with just like wrong images, wrong text in the RSS feed. And it's, although it's not exact on where the problem is, it's much more in depth as far as, hey, the artwork is wrong, or hey, the different values you put in different tags are wrong. So that's a really good step in the right direction into essentially cutting down on the need for support for submitting a new podcast.
Yeah, that'll definitely cut down some of the hassles with Apple. I mean, I'm sure they're doing this to cut down on their support tickets, and that's a good thing.
Right. Well, not exactly. So, here's a new problem that Podcast Connect has brought in. It's actually introduced a few problems, but this is one of the big ones. If you had a different Apple ID, or you let someone else submit your podcast to the Apple Podcast Directory, then you won't be able to see your podcast in Podcast Connect. Yeah. Am I saying the site right?
Yep. Podcast
Connect.
Podcasts, plural.
podcastconnect.apple.com.
Right.
So you'll have to contact Apple, and they have a page under their help and support where to contact them. It's part of their new ticket submission system. And ask for your podcast to be moved to your specific Apple ID. Until you do that, though, you will not have control of your podcast. So back in the early days, I remember in the 2005, 6, 7 timeframe, anybody could submit a podcast. It was before they started saying, well, maybe the podcaster should do it. So you would end up with fans submitting podcasts to Apple. So that those early podcasts, they could probably not even have any clue what Apple ID some of those early podcasts are submitted under. You'll just have to contact Apple first to get that taken care of before you'll be able to manage that your podcast. The other thing that's kind of a big problem in the new Podcast Connect site is they provide a place where you can change your feed address. I have to put a big warning out there that is not the correct place to change your podcast feed under normal circumstances. If you're changing your podcast feed from one service to the other, the change has to happen using what's called a 301 redirect. And then also, if you wanted to, using an iTunes new feed URL setting in the feed itself. If you change the feed address directly in Podcast Connect, you can inadvertently change your podcast listing to use a new address, but your subscribers will remain to using the old feed URL. And if you're not aware of that, you'll think you changed everybody that was subscribed and you'll lose them all.
Right. That's one of the misunderstandings even before this Podcast Connect was, you could manually tell Apple to change that feed, but unless you had a 301 at the old website or a new feed URL a tag or both at the old website, and it has to be at the old website and the old feed, you would still lose your subscribers.
Right. So there is a reason for that setting, though. You might want to change the feed because you're with a service that does not provide any redirection, and you really have no other option except to update the listing URL and kind of live with the fact that you're going to lose subscribers. But that would be the exception. The only other situation might be if you just launched and you wanted to change the URL before you started really promoting the show. That'd be another example where it would be okay to change the feed URL from the Podcast Connect screen. Otherwise, if you have an established podcast, you should be doing it with a 301 redirect, not from within the Podcast Connect site.
Right. And what I always tell people is we've got a guide on, or several guides on the create.blueberry.com site that tells you how to at least get most of your subscribers if you're on a service that doesn't allow you to do a 301 redirect. And that's, you keep the old service and, put a tag at the beginning, not a tag, but, say at the beginning of your podcast, hey, this podcast is moved, resubscribe at this address. And you'd say that for like 4 episodes. And then you keep the old service open long enough to where anybody that's paying attention will know to go to the new address to resubscribe. And
right.
You may have to do that.
Right. It's kind of like what radio stations do when they change frequencies for like a month or two. They'll broadcast the same message every 5 minutes, like, hey, we moved.
Right.
Turn the dial over to 99 point whatever. And
And that's probably a good thing to do anyway if you're going to move, even if you are going to do a redirect, because, that's going to alert your faithful followers or your listeners that definitely want to hear you, because a lot of people subscribe to podcasts, and if you're on an Apple device, it stops downloading at a certain point, but on other apps it doesn't necessarily stop downloading after you quit listening to it. So those kind of listeners aren't going to get the message, but you know, they weren't listening anyway.
Right.
So, anything else you wanted to say about Podcast Connect?
Okay. So, this should have gone at the beginning. What is Podcast Connect for?
Oh, sorry about that. Well, see, in iTunes, for the longest time, if you wanted them to change anything, you had to you had to put in a support ticket and have the iTunes team do that. And also, you had to use the iTunes desktop application to submit your podcast to the iTunes directory. And now they've made a web-based website that does that, yeah, plus a few other things.
Yeah, the website was so needed because a lot of people don't even use the desktop software anymore.
Yeah, because everybody's, you know, listening to podcasts on phones and you know, they iTunes, what's that? You know, other than they think it's a podcast directory, but they don't know that it's, you know, that before that it was a software. And it still is, but it's, you know, so it makes it a lot easier for, you know, those that don't, you know, there's people out there that don't even have a computer. They use, you know, iPads or Android phones or iPhones or whatever exclusively.
And, right. It's also mobile now.
Right. And so, you know, the desktop software isn't used nearly as much as it once was. And so they've pretty much eliminated that. Plus, you know, again, they probably cut down on some of their support tickets this way, too.
Yeah, I mean, having a designated, like, area or system for it is a much better idea for them and for, I guess, users as well.
Right. So, well, hey, let you guys get off to bed or whatever, and I'll get this out tomorrow. And thanks for joining me as the temporary guest host of the PowerPress Podcast.
Yes, thank you for being the temporary host.
Right.
Well, thanks, Mike.
And yeah, I think what was it next week? I'm going to be down in Columbus. We're going to do a little tweaking on the studio and maybe record another one while I'm down there. So,
yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, you guys drive safe coming home and good luck at the conference tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Well, most of you who know me know that I do another podcast. It's called Podcast Help Desk. And that's where I help people with their podcast. I answer questions about podcasting. I talk about podcasting. You know, it's podcasting all over. But one of the segments that I do is the Blueberry Tip of the Week. And since I'm the temporary host for this week of the PowerPress Podcast, I thought I would bring that to this podcast, or at least this episode. And so here we go with the Blueberry Tip of the Week. And that tip is, if you're hosting with Blueberry and you're using a WordPress, PowerPress site, a lot of times people miss putting their RSS feed in their setting at Blueberry. That does two things. That one thing is it gives us in a tech support, you know, so we don't have to email you and ask you when you have some sort of a feed issue, if you have any feed issues. Hopefully you won't, but if you do, it's nice to have that in the settings so that we can go look at your feed without having to ask you, you know, what your feed is. But the better reason to do it, and you know, you're not going to have that many feed issues, so the other reason to do it is to have your listing in the directory be correct. You want your listing in the Blueberry directory to be up to date and accurate. And with our hosting, if you're hosting with us and using WordPress and PowerPress, this isn't automatically connected. The directory is not really connected to the hosting directly at blueberry.com. It has to come in through your RSS feed. And if we don't have that feed, we can't update your listing. So the way you do that is you log into blueberry.com and you go to the podcaster dashboard. And in there, you'll see up in the upper left currently, there's a directory listing section, and you click on listing settings, and you've got your feed URL, your iTunes listing URL. That's the thing that iTunes sends you when they approve your show. You can put it in a category, and this is for the directory at blueberry.com. You give it a parental rating, and you save and update your listing. That does a couple things that, you know, I said, puts that feed in the settings so that we can find it if needed. And second, it updates your listing at Blueberry, and it gives you your homepage URL at, or your listing homepage URL at Blueberry. Also on that page, so you can bookmark that if you want to make sure that stays up to date and all that. Because, you know, our directory is getting pretty popular, so, you know, it's well worth doing. But I do have another caveat. If you're using blueberry.com as your feed, then you don't need to do that because you're going to be making episodes, and those are going to go directly into the directory. So, you know, if you're using Blueberry's feed, then you do not need to put your feed URL in the settings. But if you're using your own WordPress and PowerPress or whatever other service that you're using with our hosting, make sure you put that feed in the settings and update your listing. And that's going to do it for PowerPress Podcast number 13, Lucky 13. Hope you enjoyed the reports from the NRB down at in Nashville, at Proclaim 16. Thanks for Angelo and Mackenzie for calling in. That was great. And we're going to close this one out. Don't forget, if you like or love PowerPress, please rate and review PowerPress. There's going to be a link in the show notes over at powerpresspodcast.com. And this has been PowerPress Podcast, information and ideas to power your podcast from the team at blueberry.com. Of course, this is the official Blueberry Podcast.